What he didn't say was I was in high school when I completed that degree. Oh, thanks, Rob. Good to have you here. Well, thank you for that warm introduction. And thanks for inviting me to be part of this. As someone who spent his career with one foot in rehabilitation and one foot in public health, I'm really happy to have this opportunity to talk about kind of my perspective on this issue of rehabilitation and disability outcomes research and what I see as the implications for public health. As I look at it, from my perspective, the field, mainstream, of public health, it doesn't have a lot of natural historical ties to rehabilitation or disability. I think it's come slowly to this topic. As I look at it, the major link has been primary prevention, efforts targeted at preventing potentially disabling conditions, and I'm not here to suggest that that's not an important function. I think it is important, and it's been, I think, the historical focus. People born with or who develop disabilities haven't received sufficient attention, in my view, from the public health community. Lawler and Cruz from the CDC in 2001 wrote an article on this topic and made the argument in their piece that the foundation of public health is the assessment of clear outcomes, and the historical focus is mortality and morbidity. And their view was disability presented a challenge to this clarity. For example, they cite in their article, just federal legislation alone provides over 50 different definitions of this concept of disability. We can't define something, we can't measure it very adequately. And as someone who has spent most of his career measuring and trying to design interventions for disability, this troubles me, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. And I think it's one of the reasons why I, as an individual who's interested in measuring disability, is interested in the public health implications of moving in this direction. So traditional public health, with the focus on reducing mortality and morbidity, I think has contributed to the mindset that equates disability as a public health failure. And I think nothing could be more further from the truth. So it's made public health difficult to frame a legitimate and important role towards persons with disability. Again, from my perspective and from the perspective of Lawler and Cruz. But to give you two examples, it took until 2005 for the Surgeon General to call for action to improve the lives of persons with disability. 2005. I mean, it was 1950s where the Surgeon General was making calls about smoking and its impact on health. It took 2005 before it was even addressed by the Surgeon General. That's troublesome in my view. 2010 was the first Healthy People document in our country that included a specific chapter and specific goals addressing the healthcare needs of persons with disability, also very troubling to me. And I think to all of us who are interested in public health and interested in persons with disabilities. So should public health care about rehabilitations and disability? Well, from my point of view, obviously, I think we should. There is an epidemic of disability in our society today. Current estimates, this comes from the 2007 report, The Future of Disability in America, anywhere from 40 to 50 million of our citizens have one or more disabilities. But ask anyone what seam runs through the many layers of healthcare debate going on in our country today, and few would mention disability as high on that list. It's just not a high profile issue in our country yet. So I ask myself, why is that the case? Why is such a highly prevalent, important problem or issue in our society not getting the attention it deserves? I think there are many reasons. It's complex, it's multifactorial, it is stigmatized in our society. We do have a problem with definitions. We have little international comparability in terms of data on disability. There's a lack of evidence on what works to prevent disability. And our healthcare system is diagnostic focused, and our NIH system is diagnostic focused for the most part. and certainly not driven by disability, with all due respect to our colleagues at NCMRR, who are the exception. Yet, when you look at the epidemiology of disability in our society, the trends are very troubling. Although there's been some decrease in disabling conditions among children, we're seeing sharp increases in other areas, such as asthma, obesity, autism. We're seeing increases in the national data in certain activity limitations, and these are not entirely explained by increased screening or broader definitions. In other words, there's trends of increasing levels of disability among children in our society today. The picture is similar in adults 18 to 64. In those 18 to 64, the prevalence of limitations in activity grew in the 1990s. There has been some leveling off. Yet, there have been increases in chronic conditions that frequently are associated with disability. Again, obesity, diabetes. And the impact of the current conflicts is not showing up in any of our national statistics to date, and it certainly is showing up in our healthcare system and our public health system in this country. And then I've left the best for last, and that is the growth in disability among the older adults in our society. We know the baby boomers they're no longer coming. The boomers are here. The population 65 and older is going to grow from 35 million in 2000 to over 70 million in 2030. We know the rate of disability in this population is the highest, so there are great reasons why, as a society and as a public health community, we should be extremely interested and concerned about the issue of disability. Mike made reference to the future of disability in America. For those of you who are interested in public health and disability, I would urge you to take a look at it. It's a report from the National Academies, and I think it addresses a lot of the issues and calls for action to our society to address the issues. In this report, we focus on many different issues, but some of them do focus on the kinds of research that really needs to be done in the area of disability. Much of it has great relevance, in my view, to public health. Interventions to prevent or reduce activity limitations and participation restrictions. Now, this is not primary prevention. This is secondary and tertiary prevention. But at least when I went to public health school, all three were deemed important, and I think we need to give attention to the secondary and tertiary prevention efforts which will affect the lives of persons with disabilities. We need to improve the evidence base for secondary conditions in aging with a disability so we have a better foundation for taking action both at the individual level and at the societal level. Looking at the effectiveness and the affordability of assistive technologies, critical area, we addressed two chapters in the report on this issue, and the important role, we think, of environmental factors and how they impact on the lives of persons with disability, probably the single most under-researched area in disability today. So a tremendous amount of opportunities for public health researchers and public health professionals. And last but not least, the risk adjustment methods that are out there today are really not focused on persons with functional limitations and disability. And this is an area, again, that's crying out for help where the public health community has tremendous expertise. Now, to the credit of our colleagues at the NIH and the National Center of Medical Rehab Research, in particular, they've recognized this challenge and they're trying to provide foundational resources to help researchers both in and outside of public health who are interested in disability. And it's a national network, and it's an unusual network because it's a network of research cores that have been funded and developed to provide researchers from around the country with expertise in biomedical, behavioral, and psychosocial fields that are particularly relevant to rehabilitation and disability research. So these centers have been funded in different sites across the country: Dartmouth, University of Texas, Galveston, the Rehab Institute of Chicago, Stanford, University of California, San Diego, Children's National Medical Center, and Boston, focused on different areas, but the intent is to provide resources to support researchers outside of those networks to help them in pursuing their research. I'm going to spend just a moment talking about ours at Boston, and then I'll move on to our next speaker. So we were fortunate to be funded to develop the Boston Rehabilitation Outcomes Measurement Center. It's a collaboration of Spalding Rehab Hospital, Boston University School of Public Health, and Tufts University. And our focus is on trying to help researchers do a better job in using and developing outcome measures that are relevant to rehabilitation and disability research. Now, with the recent focus, and Mike has mentioned this in his remarks on comparative effectiveness research and some of the new initiatives in outcomes research, we think the timing is perfect for this. We need to be prepared to go after these funds so we can kind of push the envelope on our understanding of research in the area of rehabilitation and disability. There are new and many innovative outcome measures that are available out there, and they're not being sufficiently disseminated into the research community. That's part of what we're trying to do. And researchers need help in making the right choices into what measures they should be using and having the background to make informed choices about what outcome measures to use in their research. So our focus is fairly broad. We're looking at patient-reported outcome measures. We're looking at performance-based measures, as well as highly technical instrumented outcome measures. And we've developed cores around each of these types of measures, and these are resources available to researchers. We do a lot of consultation with researchers around the country. We help them both in their current work as well as in preparing proposals. And we do that through our cores. And we do dissemination activities. We have a website. All the R24 networks have websites, and there's a common portal, which I forgot to put on the slide. My apologies. We have a regular newsletter, publications. We do various types of training. We have pilot study program where we have funds in the network to support researchers with pilot grants to help them do specific measurement projects. We have an annual visiting scientist program where someone interested in outcome measurement can work with us over a 12-month period and push specific agenda that he or she might have. We do courses at professional meetings, webinars, as well as on-site courses. So in summary, disability, from my perspective, is a major public health issue. It's only likely to increase in the coming decades. We need to develop a stronger evidence base for appropriate disability prevention and support strategies. And I think the NCMRR R24 network is one incredibly valuable resource that's available to not only public health, but researchers across the country. Thank you.